Hi there, faithful listener. This is Holly with a special small voice feature for you. As we mentioned in our most recent podcast, our roving reporter Margaret has been out and about finding some more small voices who are making a big difference. In this short feature, Margaret meets with several key people involved in an open-air Easter play to be performed in Edinburgh's iconic Princes Street Gardens over Easter weekend.
I'm not sure when I first heard about the Edinburgh Easter play performed on the Saturday of the Easter weekend in West Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh, with the stunning backdrop of Edinburgh Castle, trains heading in and out of Waverley Station, and all the busyness of Edinburgh shopping on Princes Street itself. I went to see it last year and found myself caught up in the action of a story I knew well as it came alive in front of me. And that's why I found myself in a chilly and echoing church hall a few weeks ago with Suzanne Loftus, who's directing this year's play, as she has many times before. Before members of the cast arrived for their weekly rehearsal, I asked Suzanne how long the Edinburgh Easter play had been taking place in the gardens.
Since 2005 was when Dr. Rachel Wood had the idea after seeing something in London. And she just gathered together an amazing group of volunteers and then found me as director. So it's been going since then. What I try and do every year is do something different, so we don't do the same play every year. There are a number of places that do, they do the same play, but I like to always look at what the story is and what the message is and how relevant that is for today. And so sometimes we've done modern, sometimes we do traditional, sometimes we do a hybrid. This year's one will be fully traditional because we haven't done that since 2017.
I know that it takes place in Princes Street Gardens. How did that come about?
I think it was when Rachel approached the council with the idea. And I remember actually going into that initial meeting with the council and they weren't very keen. And they wanted to put the play on Carlton Hill, which would have been out of the way. But Rachel stuck her ground and made the case for it. We managed to, with the council's permission, perform the play in Princes Street Gardens, which is great because it's an open-air promenade place, so the audience move with the action. And you can't, you know, we're set against the backdrop of the castle. You can't recreate that. That's magnificent to look at. So we design it around what we have in the gardens. So in the cast this year so far, we've got 22. We'd like to get up to about 30 or more. Which is great. So it's always a bit of a struggle to get cast. But there are non-speaking parts as well as speaking parts. Then we have the crew and the volunteers, the stewards, the catering, the costumes. There's about 100 people usually work on it at any one time, especially on the day. There's certainly 100 people on the day.
Yeah. But compared to presumably a number of people who stop and watch...
Well, it's kind of averaged out to being about 500. When we first started in 2005, there was 1,000, and we just didn't know who would turn up. At its peak, we had over 4,000 one year when it was just glorious weather, and there were lots of families in the park that day, and so they just kind of followed along. It was just wonderful.
I suppose it is a bit risky putting on an outdoor event when you could have rain and wind and not very warm weather in the middle of Edinburgh.
Yes, we've done it in all forms of weather, you know, Scotland, and so we've had wind, we've had rain, we've had snow. One year we had three crosses up and the two thieves were on the crosses with just loincloths on. I remember looking at the legs, seeing they were blue, and just said, get them down.
Having people on crosses, that must be a stunning picture.
Yes, it's always the bit I always worry about most, you know, but it's very carefully checked and engineered, and we have risk assessments and a lot of safety that goes on with it. But it does look incredible, and it does bring home just the story of what Jesus did to us. And sometimes I've even seen it where there's been a beam of sunlight hit the cross. Just incredible. Sometimes, yeah, God is the best director.
And this was how one small interview became something much bigger. I had to find out what inspired this event and how it came to be located right in the centre of Edinburgh, where tourists soak up the view and take the weight off their feet. Dr. Rachel Wood, who came up with the idea, is no longer directly involved, but according to her, it was Princes Street Gardens that inspired the event.
The gardens are somewhere that have been used for lots of different things, particularly at Christmas. And Easter was seen as a bit of a void on the calendar, I think. I felt this was a shame that there weren't really any Christian events happening within the gardens. And so I suppose that really was the first thing that inspired me. The idea really came about when I went down to London to listen to a mystery play. And during the mystery play, really in the second half, it was almost like I was sitting there and I was just picturing a play progressing through the gardens and where Garden of Gethsemane might be, where the temple might be, and it just all felt really clear in my head. And I think people often wonder what God's guidance is like, and I suppose what I would say God's guidance was like at that point was that it was just a real clarity of thought and a real sense of purpose and a sense of energized to do something. At the end of the play, as I went home, I thought I need to put these thoughts down on paper fairly quickly. I remember just writing lots of lists. And then I thought, well, I can't do this by myself. I need a big church behind me, was what I initially thought. And so I did a proposal, all written down and costed and how much time I thought it would take and how many people I thought it would need, and presented it to St Paul's and St George's, which was a church that I was attending at the time. And very much to their credit, they came back to me and said, we think this is bigger than one church. And they were absolutely right to say that, because that set me on a path of let's have this as a joint church venture. And there was an acceptance then in my mind that I was going to probably have a good 6 months of visiting lots of churches and presenting the idea. And really my main role was in recruitment then, and recruiting the people. And I also realised quite early on that to give it mileage, I'd probably need to set up a charity, and that permission would need to be granted by the council. So the council at that time had a very key person on it called Ewan Aitken, the leader of the council and the Labour leader. And I went to see him in his office, and he was also very much of the mind that this had to happen, and later came on board as a trustee. And Michael Dixon, who was on the Conservative side, also came on board as a trustee. And in that way, we had kind of cross-council support or representation on the trustee board. So that was really key. And really from there on, it was all about just the body of Christ and his church and all the experiences and skills and gifts that are within the church coming into the play in different ways, and realising that God has people everywhere.
Back to that hall and the rehearsal for this year's play. As the cast were assembling, I took the chance to talk to Anita and Peter France. Anita has acted in the Easter play several times, and Peter, having watched it many times, has been persuaded at last to take part himself. I asked Anita what part she's playing.
I'm playing Mary, the mother of Jesus. I started the last 2 years at Dalmeny, and I was Naomi at the foot of the cross with Mary, and then a shepherd, and all the time member of the crowd. Suzanne is a very good director, and I enjoy watching her manipulate people. No, she doesn't, but you know what I mean. I really feel that by doing scenes from the Bible, you learn more about what it was like to actually be there. Scenes of the Last Supper. You can learn how much longer it would have taken them to serve each other. And the chat around the table. I've seen various Judases doing betrayal in various ways, which has made me think quite a lot. I'm a great believer in drama in church to help teach people different ways of looking at things and where, how to look at things more deeply. Think of the stories Jesus told. I'm sure he just didn't sit on his hands and say, oh, a man went out to sow and he sowed many seeds. He would have done it as a drama. He, you know, would have sown the seeds and, oh, not many have come up there sort of thing. So really, he started it.
What are you looking forward to about this year?
This is the first time I do Mary, Mother of Jesus. I don't have many lines, but I'm on most of the time, so I'm acting most of the time. And it's just giving her honour, really. And the Protestant Church has denigrated her a lot as an objection to the very, very high status given her by other elder denominations. And that is definitely not fair. Very, very brave young woman. She could have died, and she knew it when she agreed. Mm-hmm. Very brave, very strong. And I want to put her over as someone like that, someone that will do her honour.
Does taking part in the different characters that you've played, do you find yourself emotionally involved in what you're doing?
Yes, I do. Very emotionally involved at the cross. And during the trial, I can't say I'm looking forward to that, but it's true. I'm not going to think I'm going to be like this and like that, and I'm just going to react emotionally to my son going through it. And it's going to be exhausting. And I'm sure Mary was absolutely on her knees by the end. But, you know, it's the way I want to do it. It's mm-hmm. the way I think Suzanne wants me to do it.
I have been on stage and I have acted. And it's getting to the stage now where I just don't want to learn lines. But Anita did say, and last year's production was excellent. It was really emotional. She was, well, not pressuring me, but would you like a non-speaking part? And I thought, well, go on, let's do it. So I've got two lines. That's non-speaking as far as they go. So I'm Thomas. But what I've been thinking recently is a lot of people don't read the Bible. That's people in church as well, and that includes me. I read it now and again, and when I've had to do classes, I've read it. So being there and seeing it and having Jesus walk among you, because that's what he does. He walks among the you know, it's something quite, you know, in the face, because they don't expect that. You know, so, yeah, I think I'll enjoy doing it.
You think you'll enjoy doing
well,
it?
Well, it's like everything else when you've got a performance. The best bit of it is when it's finished. And you haven't made a fool of yourself.
Still at the rehearsal, I bumped into another member of the cast, Philip Rose, a long-standing friend who's no stranger to acting. I've seen him as a clown and as King Herod, goodies and baddies. So I was curious to know how he got involved and especially what part he was going to play.
I've always wanted to do it in Edinburgh, so I signed up and I went over. And I was playing different parts. I can't remember what I was playing. A priest, I think, that night. And at the end of the night, the director called me to their table and said, Philip, I'd like you to play Judas. And I went, what? I thought you'd cast everyone. No, we still need a Judas. Could you do Judas? I said, is that a small part? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was a challenge, to play Judas. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, if you know the story, well, I go and hang myself. Because there's not a lot said about Judas in the Bible. So it's what do I read into this? So I'm guided mostly by the script, but it's then how do I accentuate certain words or how do I feel about this? So that's been a challenge, and I'm looking forward to a rehearsal tonight to sort of see how I bounce off. Because being an actor, you bounce off the other characters. That's why I like theatre, which this is going to be in the gardens in Edinburgh, is going to be a challenge, because you're in a rehearsal room and then all of a sudden you're out in a field with nowhere to hide. It's going to be a challenge to remember my lines, but try and stay in character And then there's a blocking of the scenes moving from one place to another. In the gardens, the audience move around with the cast and try to remember where you are in this scene. And one's in the marketplace, the other one's in the temple, the other one's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then there's the crucifixion scene. So, yeah, it's engaging with the character, engaging with the audience. And as I said, in the rehearsal room's one thing, but we're going to be in our gardens in Edinburgh, in the field, basically out of the field. You know, you're on show, so even when you're not speaking, you've got to be in character. So I'm still working through how my character is going to react in the different situations.
You're talking about getting into character. Can you separate that from your faith and the way that you would think about Jesus?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. As I said, it's a matter of engaging in the character. I mean, you're saying the words. That is the lead-in to how you portray the character. And my own personal faith has to take a back seat because you've got to make it believable. I feel my Judas character is a believer but has doubts. And he doesn't really realise that this is a Messiah. You're led by the words of the scriptwriter and what they say or what they portray the character to be, and then I have to try and interpret that live in front of an audience. And the easy part is doing it when you're speaking, but there's lots of times where I'm going to be there and no speaking, so that's when I feel, for me personally, the difficulty will come in. How do I react to the situation? How do I react to the words that I'm hearing said and the miracles of that one in the letters, a leper is healed, and Lazarus coming, who was raised from the dead? And I thought, you know, how do we react to that? How would I react to it then? The thing is, you got one-off chance to do it.
One chance to do it. Yes. Although the play has been performed many times now, and the story is basically the same, every time is something special. I asked Suzanne about the other places where she has taken the Easter play.
We've done the play in Auchtermuchty, in Dundas Castle Estate at South Queensferry, in Kelvin Grove Park, in George Square. We did the modern version. In Festival Square we have as well. And I've done the play in various prisons overseas, so in Milan, in Brazil, and in Angola prison in Louisiana, twice.
Does it have a particular impact, perhaps more so in a prison?
Oh, definitely, definitely. When we did it in Angola prison, I remember we did several performances for the other inmates. And when Jesus was speaking about being free and being set free, you know, the prisoners would just stand up and clap and whoop and cheer. And I remember thinking, I've never seen the message so just hit home so much than within a prison.
What makes you keep doing this every year?
I love it. You know, I'm a committed Christian anyway, and so it's great for me to be able to bring my faith and my job together. I'm a full-time theatre director. So to be able to bring the two things together is wonderful. And I just love it. And because it changes every year, and because the cast change every year, it's new and it's fresh every time.
We must just keep telling the story, must keep telling the basic gospel story of Jesus and keeping Jesus front and centre. What I always looked for when I was watching the play being performed is that we had a narrator who would move the crowd and say, come with me to the next scene. And gradually, as the play progressed, if you were standing on the top path of Princes Street Gardens, West Princes Street Gardens, you would start seeing people climbing on the fences and watching the play, and then gradually getting drawn into the play and coming from Princes Street down through into the gardens, just in that sense of just following Jesus as though they were there in first century Palestine. And Jesus, when the crowds moved between each scene, there's nothing like following a crowd to draw people in. So there was something very powerful about having a promenade play that moved over quite a large area. But it is pretty complicated. And what's brilliant is after a while, you don't, although the narrator is speaking, the crowd's moved. They want to follow Jesus, and that they're drawn to Jesus. And there's that's what the power of drama is, really.
A lot of people don't actually know the story, and some of the cast don't actually know the story. And so it's important to tell the story. We're not preaching. We're not doing anything else. It's our job to tell the story and be as faithful to that story as we can. So that's what we want to do. We've adjusted the script to make there be more of a narrative, but we've made the narrator this year be Mary Magdalene. So it's something different to see her connection and her journey. And that's what we want to show, that Jesus and that Jesus' message is the same yesterday, today and forever.
And that's why I'm planning to head for Edinburgh on Saturday, the 8th of April, and get myself to West Princes Street Gardens for 2 p.m. to watch the 2023 Easter play. And like all the cast and Suzanne, and no doubt all those involved, I'll be hoping for good weather and a trouble-free performance. And something more, for a fresh reminder of the story and its message for all the audience, including me. My thanks to Suzanne Loftus, to Rachel Wood, to Philip, Anita and Peter, and for all of them and all of you listening, a happy Easter when it comes.